Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Monday night, Big Footy Tiger Cast. We're not coming off a loss this week, not coming off a win either, but I think that's in some cases better than coming off a loss. It's good to have you all joining us tonight. I'm just chuckling at CB's background picture. CB, how are you, mate? Welcome back.
Yeah, good, good. Big thank you to the fillings, like Carl and co. It's been terrific to get some different guests on and different points of view. So tremendous, yeah.
Yeah, no, we're always happy to have. We've got a bit of a guest list rotating roster, which is good. Maybe doing well. They're good. Always good to have you back on. Love the background picture. Did you want to give any context to it or just let people work it out?
Just me and Gene Simmons' boots. No reason.
Grok, welcome back, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, going well, mate. As you said, not after a win or a loss, but the fact that the Eagles smashed the Dockers feels like a win after last week's episode. We're not the only one to lose to the Eagles now, so that makes it a little bit easier tonight.
Yeah.
It's an interesting point. I probably felt a little bit the same. I felt a bit more at ease with our loss, given that they pumped Freo, but then I'm like, oh, maybe we were the catalyst. Not maybe. We obviously were the catalyst for it, but good to see that it wasn't just us that got knocked off.
Absolutely. And they're a better side than us, so yeah.
Do we get priority picks now? Is that what can we ask for that? Now they've won a couple of games in a row.
But, well.
No, Tiggs not. Tiggs was going to jump on tonight, but he's had to pull out during the day, wasn't feeling up to it. So I said, whenever you're ready, you jump on. So he passes on his apologies. But yeah, we'll crack on regardless. So do you have something there?
No, we're good.
Josh, they've had a good 3 weeks. The Eagles have. It's been a funny old week of football. Kind of nice to sit back and just watch it all unfold for once instead of stressing about the result of our own team. But and the only other positive to come out of this week is no injuries that we know of.
Just wait till tomorrow when the injury list comes.
We've still got a captain's run, like.
Yeah.
We're down to 24 players, mate. We can't order the 28 players. We can't do any more.
Just save that until 6 o'clock tomorrow night when the team comes out.
Yeah,
true. We'll have to wait and see. Otherwise, we will legitimately be raffling off spots to play to play on the park at some point. All right, so the show will be a little bit different tonight. Obviously, we don't have a game to talk about, which is fine. Well, from last week anyway. So some other topics we had on hand. Keen to get everyone's thoughts. Obviously, the media broke the last couple of days that Richmond have now reached out to members to help fund the balance of the redevelopment, which I think it's about $100 million short. Did I read that correctly? Tigers fans urged to donate as punt road revamp blows out to $100 mil. So I think what was originally covered was maybe 60.
Yes, 70.
About 30 to 40 mil short to get the redevelopment done. And look, the images look really cool of what it's going to be, which is all good and well. But how do we all feel? I know no one's obligated to, and I'm not expecting anyone to tell us if they are or they aren't going to do it. But how do we all feel about the fact that we've even been asked to by the club, given that, you know, times are already tough as it is, interest rates have gone up, you know, month on month. People are clearly struggling to make ends meet, and now there's sort of this to think about as well.
So go back a step. So when this project was initially costed, it was how many years ago?
2020 or 2019 or something, the initial plan was.
Legitimately. So there'll be some skepticism around this, but legitimately building prices and materials and things have increased astronomically. So it does make sense that something that was priced out 4 years ago actually has increased in costs to now. Now, whether it's 100 million or what have you, it actually is legit. It's in line with market increases. That makes sense. So not unsurprising that it has increased. Also, we've got a broke state government. So whether they've pulled some funding, don't know. That's not a political comment. It's just fact. We're broke. We pulled the club out of the poo with the Fighting Tiger Fund all those years ago to do it. I I don't know. I don't know how many times you can go back to the well as a club. That's all I'll say. To keep putting it upon the members that keep putting money into the club to keep it going. So that's kind of where I sit on it.
Yeah, and you also, yes, the costs are blown out for COVID, but the cost of living across the board's gone up as well. So it's unfair. I think it's a little unfair, as you said, to go back to that well when the average cost of living for most families and members will have gone up by the same amount, and wages still haven't increased enough to match that demand. So, you know, it's putting more pressure on members to sort of contribute financially more than what they do with memberships for people who may not even be able to afford it in the first place. So, while I think there might be some members out there who will be happy to donate, I think that a vast majority of them wouldn't be in a financial position to make any sort of, I don't want to say meaningful contribution because every dollar counts, but a contribution that will make a major impact in the funds required.
Shout out to Hilda in the NT. The other thing as well that kind of irks me about this a little bit, and this isn't just exclusive to our club, I want to say, is the fact that all of us were still paying top dollar for memberships during a time where we couldn't go for 2 years. So that in itself was a donation that we couldn't attend games. We were forced to stay home and watch it on TV through no fault of the clubs. But is that money still there to use for this? I'm not sure what they did with that because nothing was up and running. But I just think, yeah, with the amount, everything's gone up in price. I think someone worked out that it was, yeah, 300 or 450 for each member if you divided the total between 100,000 or whatever it is. It's still just not doable for a lot of families. Like, I know that I'd struggle to come up with that over the course of 4 or 5 months to just hand over. So like I said, the club's not holding a gun to anyone's head, but times like this, it can be a bit hard to cop, can't it?
Yeah, that $450 per member, if you think about it, a family of six may have six memberships, that's $2,700 if we go per member. So, like, that's where things might get a little bit rough. But, yeah, I agree. Like, the whole COVID situation with memberships, a lot of people said, you know, we're happy to continue supporting the club through this. And looking back, we got shit all in sort of compensation besides a few stickers and a thank you card in the mail, whereas I know Geelong and Essendon sent out a signed jumper by one of the players to each member that recommitted. And looking back, I think that we got shafted a little bit as fans in terms of what the club could give us back in regards to, you know, the support. So I think given that we've gone through that, we've had two years, 18 months worth of not being able to go through to games, limited crowds, things like that. You know, I do think it's a bit much asking for members to contribute even more.
I think to Stephen's point about doing some different types of fundraisers, I don't know when the last time they did one of these was, but I remember many, many years ago, they cleaned out the property room, essentially, and they did a big sale of all the past players, Guernseys, training shorts, tops, the works. I'm sure they wouldn't have made bucket loads of money from that. But small things like that, I think when people can actually get something from it, rather than it's just a donation, people be more inclined to do it. And I don't want that to sound selfish, but you know, if I can walk away with a former player's Guernsey for $50, I'd rather do that than hand over 50 and not see anything for it, if that makes sense.
If Kiwi Tigers listening, we had a chat in Perth last year, and I promise you, I would happily do it, and I'm sure there'd be thousands of Tiger supporters would do it. When I knock down the punt road stand, sell the bricks, I will happily buy a brick out of, you know, limit to one per customer, so everyone gets a shot at it. I would love to buy a brick. If they're going to pull it down, it'd be just fascinating to have that piece of history. It sounds stupid, it's a brick, but yeah, out of the Jack Dyer stand, that there's a way to make money, you know, to your point, Michaels. But this nonsense of where, you know, we've got people doing hard, and, you know, as Morrell said earlier, you know, like he couldn't afford it to take a membership. People are doing it tough. And these people go, oh, well, you know, if you're not a member, if you're not paid up, you know, mate, if you can't afford it, you're still a supporter, you're still aligned to the club. Do not feel guilty about putting food on your family's table or bloody paying your utility bills or your rent. Yeah.
Very good call. Family stuff always comes first. So make sure you remember that. Yeah, never ever feel guilty if you can't chip in anymore for this or for a membership. You still love the club the same as the next person. So to your point, Mount Franklin, yeah, how annoying were some of those phone calls after you've just been belted by 100 points? Oh, do you want to buy a $250 raffle ticket? No, I don't. I just want to see some on-field performances. Oh, they were the days, my goodness.
Is this a good time to take out one of those guaranteed premiership tickets?
Premiership circle.
I was actually talking to a Richmond supporter at work today, funnily enough. It was his first day, and he raised this, and he said to me, why can't the players donate? I mean, if they're the one that's going to be using it, surely they should be contributing towards it as well, rather than, you know, if it's collective, if we're all one big Tiger Army, surely that must include, you know, staff and everyone contributing their way as well.
I wouldn't be shocked if we did see some footage of that happening to kickstart it. I think surely they're smart enough to realise that it's a one in all in kind of thing. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
Hmm.
I'll play for a brick, Jones. If they want to pick me up in the mid-season draft, just give me a brick and I'll be on my way. I'll be happy with that.
Benny Gale, we want our bricks.
Yeah.
just don't give him a salary. Pay him in Farmers Union iced coffee.
Oh, that's true. Happy to take either. That is totally fine. Oh, there we go. That's been spoken about. And like for some, I know some people in chat, whether it's through Big Footy or on their own, are involved in the player sponsor program as well. And even through there, they do some really good nights with the players. You go lawn bowls and they have good chats and things like that. I know that would be really difficult to orchestrate when you're talking about 100,000 members, but if you donate X amount, you get to, whether you know, you've got things like Zoom and shit these days, right? You get a Zoom link to go into a chat with the coaches pre-game or during the week. I don't know. There's things like that they could do where technology is of benefit that I think people would actually buy into, and it's access people get to the club they wouldn't necessarily have gotten previously, and the club make a bit of money to go towards it all. But I'm sure there's thousands of ideas everyone's going to have. And I only say that, Cameron, because I was part of the sponsor program during COVID. And, yeah, there was links to, you know, you got to, like Dimmer was talking to everyone about an upcoming game might have been against an interstate side and what the game plan was and stuff like that. It was completely fascinating to watch. And I think if people have the opportunity to buy in to do that, which there's no outlay for the clubs, it doesn't cost them anything, I think people would do it. But
yeah,
maybe the Big Footy Tigercast could sponsor a play next year as a bit of a side project. All right, next topic on the list, Baker and Martin. Their status popped up again on the back of Trent Cotchin's comments saying that at least one of them won't be playing in Richmond colours next year, which I'm a little bit disappointed that it came from Koch, given I know he's in the media now and it's his job, he's got to get clicks and all that kind of stuff, but he knows how grueling and how shit the media can be to our club in particular. And he's flown the flag for the very same club on multiple occasions. And then to throw at least one of them under the bus was pretty disappointing, if I'm being honest. I know he's doing his job, but he would have the utmost intel of anyone in the media brigade. I just thought it was a little bit shit by him to throw one of them under the bus.
When I should have been focusing on work, I actually got thinking about our conversation earlier, Michaels. And while I was pissed at what Kochi said, I'll throw this out to you. When you look at those premiership teams, Trent Cotchin was a number two pick. Dustin Martin was a number three pick. Alex Rance was a pick 17. Jack Rewalt, pick 13.
Yep.
So that nucleus of our superstars come from very high picks. Liam Baker was a rookie pick off memory, yes?
Yep.
So I'll say this, as much as I was pissed at Kochi, if we go to West Coast and go Liam Baker and a second rounder and a future fourth or some shit, and that gets us the next Harley Reid, I tell you now, I couldn't put the paper quick enough in front of him to take that deal, if I'm honest with you. Love Bakes, but we've got plenty of flankers and little players. We need to get the next Dustin Martin into this. And I'm not saying it's Harley Reid. I'm saying a Harley Reid type player, to be clear. I'm just saying I couldn't do that deal quick enough. So with our pick, plus if you got two in the top 10, that could seriously relaunch with the games we're getting to the young guys now, could seriously launch the club. So while I'm pissed at Koch, I'm kind of torn on it too because there's benefits to be had. Crocker?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm pissed. I'm a little disappointed in Koch for the comments, but I look at it and I think he got out on the front foot because if he had said, that's not my business, he would have been asked about it week after week after week after week. And I think he sort of preemptively just put that out there and said, this is my opinion, this is what I know, don't ask me again, sort of thing. And I mean, as someone said, it's not really anything that we haven't already known. I mean, we know that Dusty's up in the air about whether he's staying or if he's going to retire. I don't think he's going anywhere. I mean, based on this season alone, just some of his body language and everything, I can't see him being a great fit at most other, especially at the Gold Coast where they're trying to build a culture with Dimmer up there. I'm not sure that Dusty playing like he is and some of the behaviours and defensive efforts that he's had over the past couple of weeks will necessarily translate up there. And Baker, I mean, we already know Baker said that he wants to finish his career in WA at some point. So, I mean, it's nothing out of the ordinary, nothing newsworthy, but I just think it's been blown out of proportion because it came from someone who was close with both players. If it had been Carolyn Wilson who come out and said it, it wouldn't be a massive deal at all. It's just the fact that Cochin said it, who was, you know, captain of the club, 3 years ago and only just finished 6 months ago. Like, yeah, that's the only reason it's a big deal.
To your point, CB, I think, yeah, if that type of trade was on offer for Baker, as much as you love what he's done for the club, you would take that and run. I think if you're able to get a top five, top six pick alongside the one we're probably going to end up with naturally anyway, I think you're crazy not to, especially because, I think we mentioned this last week, but especially because Tassie are not far away. So you don't want to be dragging this out and then having to try and do it through a compromised draft again. So if you're going to do it, just rip the Band-Aid and do it. I'm probably the same as a few other people in chat. I've come to terms with I'm pretty confident Baker's gone.
Yeah,
might be proven wrong, but the writing does appear to be on the wall.
It's a very significant offer too. It's 850 plus that Freo have tabled.
But again, well, you can't blink at that. Like, I just think. But having said that too, if Richmond was offering 850 for a little tiny 6 foot flanker, I'd be pretty pissed. And like that's serious coin for a game changer type player. So he's not leaving on bad terms.
No.
Yeah.
Definitely. You can't begrudge someone knocking back that size, amount of coin. Like, you think of your own workspace, if a rival company offered you double what you were getting, you're probably going to leave. Like, more often than not. But look, there's probably still a lot to play out and we're probably making a lot of assumptions and connecting the dots. But you would hazard a guess it's more likely than likely. But yeah, given the size of the contract, we just want to get, compensated appropriately, I guess.
And I look at it, look at what they got for Schultz, who's done stuff all compared to what Baker's done in his career as the type of player. Yes, he's coming good at Collingwood over the last couple of weeks now, but if you look at who's going to be a more consistent player, Schultz or Baker, Baker can go anywhere on the park and play midfield forward. So, yeah, definitely think they'd rate him, and they'd have to give up at least a late first rounder.
I don't have any other trade-ish info. Oh, the only other one that popped up was Dan Rioli having some time off in the Gold Coast. Like, that one to me reeked of Channel 10 putting one and one together and getting three. We had a buy. He was up in Gold Coast with his girlfriend. It's a pretty common place to go to. And he may very well have caught up with Dimmer because he did live with him for quite a substantial part of his life. And he may have caught up with Brandon Ellis too. But I personally don't think there's anything in that Rioli one whatsoever. And they've just, you know, shot their shot and they've missed by a bit of a fair margin, I reckon.
Look, as far as Channel 10 sports journalism goes, unless it comes from Hugh Rimmington, I don't want to. I don't want to know about it.
What happened
to that bloke?
Hey? Went to one press conference to smash Dimmer, and that was it.
No, Rioli, Dimmer did meet with Rioli. He confirmed that. Just that it was just again catching up. Obviously, they had a very close relationship. Rioli stayed with Dimmer and Danielle for 2.5 years when he was first drafted. So they've got a very, very close relationship. But again, Rioli's contracted till the end of 2027. So if they want, again, if they want him to force a trade, it's going to cost them a first rounder.
That's a long-term contract. That's right. That you don't get out of that really easily. So
that's okay. We'll just take Lukosius. That's okay.
Yeah, or Noah Anderson, whichever one. Yeah.
Noah Anderson. That's okay. Deal done.
But yeah, shithouse reporting from Channel 10. They did not do themselves any favours there whatsoever.
Although, to be fair, Rioli's face when he got ambushed at the airport was priceless. He was like,
it was. It was a bit like, what's yeah. going on? I've just been away. What's happening? Oh, very, very funny. Other news, obviously, Jaden Short has been officially put onto the injury list with the... It was a calf injury, I believe, wasn't it? So... What have they got that, Dennis? Is it 4 or 5 weeks, 3 or 4? What have they got as? I didn't actually.
No, it wasn't long.
Okay.
We've got about 5 blokes all at sort of that 3 to 4 week mark.
Okay. So who's scheduled to come back in those next 3 to 5 weeks?
There's a few. There's Prestia, Hopper, Bolter, Short, Grimes. I don't know. There's a few.
So calf for Short, and it was expected up to 3 weeks.
Okay, up to 3 weeks. So it's going to be interesting when these names start to pop back up. Like, obviously, we're playing quite a few youngsters at the moment, and I know, CB, you've been fairly vocal on someone like Presti, for example, with high reoccurring hamstring injuries going back through the VFL to see if that is something that does happen. Like, we're probably at a point where the season's all but over, really, if we're being realistic. Do we now have a bit more luxury to take our time to get these guys back? Do they maybe see less football? Like, Grimes still may struggle to get back in if we want to see Tom Brown more games into him.
Well, I think the club's caught a bit of a conundrum. They need to get some wins on the board to keep the members coming in, to keep the dollars ticking in. So I reckon if Presti is right, given the length and the extent of the injury list, I think they'll bring him straight in.
You think they'll go straight in? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm not too sure on Prestia and Grimes. Like, I think at this point, as I mentioned a couple of times on the pods this year, I think their output as opposed to the potential for the players who are coming in to replace them. You have a look at Brown, Miller, Trezise. All of these players have equaled or outperformed Grimes in every game that they've played this year. Grimes has been horrific. So I think it's going to be stiff on them when they've got more upside and they're outperforming Grimes for Grimes to come in based on reputation and because he's got runs on the board. If we're going on form, Grimes would be a long way off replacing any of Broad or any of Brown or Miller at this point.
Dabo's just hit a real sore point.
Yeah, bad news, Dabo. Juddy Clark has done an ACL, so he's out for 12 months. So in the VFL, controversially, come up with a knee complaint, got it strapped up. They did all the tests, apparently, and everything like that, and was sent back out there, kicked a goal, and then crawled off the ground, essentially. And he's done his ACL and gone for 12 months.
Yep, slipped as he kicked it from 50.
So Trezise trained well today, says James Racing. That's good. I agree. I like Trezise as well, RFC. I was a bit bummed that he dropped out after not many games. So hopefully we can see him back in sooner rather than later. But the mid-season draft is around the corner. Has anyone got any idea of who we're going to be taking? See, CB and I were chatting today. I was on my other computer, but I thought I'd look up some of the leading goal kickers for the Waffle, the Sandful. Just any comp where someone's kicking a bag of goals is surely half a chance. I think that El Nua is a chance as well. But
just to our viewers, if you know of anyone in the Bush Leagues, I don't care if it's ones or twos, name them. I want to know their height, their weight, and how many snags they've kicked in the first month of footy. Right, the Tigers need another key forward. Come on, give us some suggestions, guys. We're desperate for another forward. Put him in there.
Pay with bricks. We can pay with bricks. We can pay with pies, sausage rolls, whatever they want. Is anyone got any actual ideas on who we might be looking at?
I wouldn't be surprised if we look at Schofield, who was the one that we overlooked for LaFau in the preseason, or Archie May from our VFL side, who's taken some decent marks and is hitting the scoreboard.
Okay, well, yeah, that's going to be fascinating. So we've definitely got two picks because Juddy Clark's now out. Is that right? It's definitely two confirmed list spots.
Two picks, yeah, with Gibkiss and Clark, if we want to take it.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's so hard because I think it's really hard to find a ready-made forward to make an impact straight away in that kind of draft pool. But we're going to have a crack at it, aren't we? Like we can't, if we're going to look at a key forward, we can't afford to look at like a Bradkey type who's really young and raw. It has to be someone that's ready to go right now, get them in, and they have to try and make an impact.
Yeah, we need that bigger body because we don't have anything other than Cozzy and Samson Ryan, really. So we definitely need that probably mature age of that, probably 25-ish type, 24, 25, that can come straight in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. Ryan Garthwaite kicked 9 the other week. Hey. Someone put Liam McBean earlier.
So what we're asking is to put some. So what do people want to see? If we've got two picks, are we in agreement as a group, viewers and everyone, that we need a key forward and we need another smaller player, better midfield flanker, whatever, right? Best available. But I think the priority out of this one is we actually need a forward. We need another forward into that lineup with what has occurred this year with our talks.
Yeah. I think our two priorities would be a key forward, a mature age key forward, and probably a defensive clearance winning midfielder. Because we've seen what our midfield is like with no Prestia Hopper or Taranto. We don't have that defensive awareness or that ball-winning capability. So I think a midfielder who runs defensively and cracks in hard, wins clearances, and a key forward, they'll be the two that we'll be looking for, I reckon.
I think it's important to note that if we were to find a key forward in this mid-season draft, I don't think it's a long-term thing. Like, they might only be on a one-year contract to fill a really big void that we've got currently. Maybe it turns into two. But, yeah, because Cozzy's, I don't think he's ticking the boxes at the moment. Samson Ryan needs to put on a bit more size, but then, yeah, I don't know. He offers some things, but, yeah.
Just to go back a step. So when you looked at the Eagles game and you got it, look, Tim Kelly is a gun midfielder. Yo is an absolute gun midfielder. And what they were doing to those young blokes a couple of weekends ago won't be happening to Thompson down three. Like Yo was physically just literally moving Dale off the ball and creating space, etc. But in 3 years, that won't happen as Dale gets bigger, more games, and more experience. So, nothing but upside for those young blokes, but they physically just don't have the size about them at the moment. Without Hopper and Trent on those big bodies around them, and even Ross, they don't have the size to protect them around the pill. So, yeah, a big big inside mid would be good.
My only concern with Dow is he doesn't look anywhere near being ready to take that number one mid role, and he's been on the list 5 years, and his strength still is a major concern. And being able to hold a body contest. And that's 5 years into his career. So it's one of those ones. In three years' time, he'll be what, 27? Is it a bit of a too little, too late sort of thing for Dow? Because I think he's probably on his last chance now. And I rated him. And I think he's shown some decent things, but I don't think he'll ever be that type that doesn't get pushed off the ball.
Don't know. I think with Taranto and Hopper and those big guys around him, he was looking pretty good. Don't know. Jury's out for me.
Yeah.
Jury's out.
Especially with McAuliffe coming in. But
keep in mind, mate, you've got two blokes in Hopper and Taranto on big contracts, lengthwise. Yeah. If we happen to land pick three and pick bloody 7, 8, 9 in the draft, and there's a Harley Reid type available, then I think Thompson's spot might be in a bit of strife next season, starting on the pill. So there's that to consider as well.
Didn't he miss almost a whole year with glandular fever as well, though? Was that him?
I think he missed. Yeah.
I think so. Even though he's been in the system for 5, I think he, not to make excuses, because he'd like to see him a little bit bigger, but at least he has a dip for 4 quarters, which is something, I suppose. But it was interesting that Uzay obviously made a conscious decision to leave the youngsters in there when the game was pretty much beyond reach, that he made the conscious effort to leave the young kids in there as a learning experience. I mean, do you think is that a good way for them to learn? Can some of it hinder them when it's just all youth in there? Do you need to have that balance of experience and youth for learning to take place? What do you think?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, we have to. With our mids, that they're all injury prone. Taranto, injury prone. Hopper, injury prone. Prestia, injury prone. The more games we can get into these guys and expose them to, you know, mature age bodies in AFL midfields, the better off we're going to be in 2-3 years' time.
Oh, and apologies. Yeah, McAuliffe's already in there and showing signs.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll start taking a look. We'll roll into the game against the D's Wednesday night, Anzac Eve, which is always a really, really good occasion. So I strongly encourage anyone who can get there to get there. It's, you know, while the result may not go our way, and that's a very preemptive thing to say, it's always a very, very good night. We'll start with, and I know it's been a long time between drinks game-wise, but do we think there'll be any obvious changes to come from the last game against the Eagles? I'm just looking at who was on the bench for that game based on the listed teams, and that was McAuliffe, Pickett, Short, Kaczynski. So obviously Jaden Short's going to come out with injury. Who's going to come in for him? And do we think, is Ralph Smith going to hold his spot? Sonzi was sub last game. Does he get more of a game? What are we thinking is going to happen? Is Cozzy going to play again?
I think Cozzy has to, honestly, with May and Lever. Cozzy's going to get monstered. Whoever comes in is going to get absolutely monstered by Stephen May. So, I mean, Cozzy's probably going to be the better option as opposed to Samson Ryan. But then again, Samson Ryan can help out in the ruck against Gorn, who always smashes us. So it's sort of, what do we want? Do we want to break even, or at least try and, you know, get a... lessen the impacts of their defenders or lessen the impact of their rucks, or that's a decision. I don't think Ralph Smith plays. I think he comes out. I think him for Hopper comes in. And I think with Short out, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Caleb Smith. He'd been very good at VFL level as a halfback flanking, plays very similar to Short. So I wouldn't be surprised if those two are the only ins. Naismith potentially, and have Nank play as a forward could be the other option.
CB?
Dead set. If Naismith doesn't come in, I'm going to spew up. He actually needs to be the starting ruck against Max Gorn and have Nank start forward. So I would have starting forwards. I would have Nankervis and... Cozzy in purely to keep Lever and May accountable. The flip side is, I reckon with Short out, maybe Grimes will come in and they'll try and rejig something around there. So I reckon Grimes will come in for Short. And I think, you know, if Hopper comes in, I think Hugo will come out for Hopper. And I think Sonzi needs game time. So I don't know who becomes sub there. But yeah, we got to be smart about this. So we need to hold him accountable. But yeah, Naismith needs to come in. He's been burning it up in the last 2-3 games. Put him in, because Gawn goes over the top of Nank every time and kills us. Yeah. And dead set, if that Spud Petty kicks another bag, dead set, smash my TV set in. You've been warned, Richmond. I don't want to buy a new TV set.
Don't do it. I'm a huge plus one for Naismith, and I have been for the last couple of weeks. And I know this is only a preseason game, so you take it with a grain of salt. But the preseason game out here at Casey Fields, we were getting belted pretty early on. And the game actually shifted when Naismith was rucking against Gawn, because he could actually compete with him physically and in height. Whereas, like, as much as I love Nank and what he does, he is a shorter ruckman. He's a lot better at getting around the ground. But when it comes to pure tap work against the actual Giants, he's not very good. And that's no slight on him. That's just a height factor. So I'm a huge, huge plus one for Naismith coming in to ruck against Gawn, because I think he's actually our best bet at halving some of those midfield contests. Because, like we were talking about the other day, Grok, if we give Max Gawn first use of the ball with our inexperienced midfield against Viney, Petrarca, Oliver, we are going to get absolutely decimated in a matter of 5 or 10 minutes. The game will be over.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've also, just going back quickly, we've also got Lafau, who I'd put Lafau on lever. I think that's probably the best matchup we have for Lever right now. But yeah, like Gawn, I am sick to death of Gawn just running rings around everyone. I know CB said he doesn't want to see Petty kicking a bag. The one thing I don't want to see is us kicking long down the wing to fucking Gawn. six years in a row, just straight to Gawn, straight to Gawn, straight to Gawn, straight to Gawn. Like, I don't want to see it again. Like, we need to lower our eyes. We've obviously done it for the first half of the first quarter for the last 4 weeks. We need to continue that the whole way through, because if we bomb long, it doesn't matter who we've got up forward. May and Lever are going to have a field day. Gawn's going to float back. Like, yeah, we just need to be a lot smarter with the ball and how we move it, especially against the D's.
Yeah. Problem is as well, though, too, and I think as RFC Centre's nailed it, if Elliot Yeo and Kelly were moving our midfielders, just imagine what the balls of Viney, Petrarca and Oliver are going to do to them. So, like I said, if we don't get on top of Gawn feeding it to them, it's going to get ugly. In the space of 10 minutes, they could literally just blow us out of the water.
100%.
We've got to avoid that.
That's why, yeah, it's extremely risky to have Nank versus Gawn at the opening ruck contest for that first quarter. Look, over the course of the game, they'll probably get the job done anyway. But, yeah, if we're a chance to try and kick some goals early, that's going to be it. But so we've identified Lafau as being someone to play on Lever. Obviously, Lever and May are two of the best intercept markers in the comp. They structure up really well in defence. And it's going to be, without having a genuine key forward, it's going to be tough. But is it just a case of trying to lower our eyes as much as possible? Maybe there's some dirty kicks in there. Is there anything else we can do besides not kick to the tallest bloke on the field?
I kind of think the other way. I kind of think we need, if Naismith plays and you play him forward when he's resting, you almost need to play the Mason Cox rule. Sit it on his head, put that 15 metres out and just try and lock it in.
Yeah. I think it's either the short kicking, like hit up those short targets, deny Melbourne the ball. They can't do anything if they can't get the ball or pressure, or just dirty ball. Just kick it to grass, run on, and allow our forward pressure to do anything. Mansell and Morris have been really good with their pressure over the last 3 weeks. So, again, it's either we hit up every short lead and go uncontested, or we just make it a dirty, scrappy game. So, yeah, and if we try half-hearted either way, then Melbourne will tear us up.
Well, it's not going to be a night for – if it's going to be wet, it's not going to be a night for skills, is it?
Yeah, 3 millimeters or something. It's not too. Yeah, it'll be
cold.
Yeah,
Yeah. I'm with Azza Brown. Just shotgun a can before we play. Just
what, supporters or players or both?
Both.
Both. So, someone said we'll get pumped. You know, we all said the same thing about the Sydney game. Stranger things have happened. I mean, yeah, it'd be a miracle if we win. But again, we have a look. Eagles didn't have a weren't pretty much a chance against Freo. We weren't a chance against Sydney. Like, it's been a weird season already. So
the other factor, as Nick pointed out earlier, is the Uze factor coming from Melbourne and having some form of intel about how they play. I'm not sure whether that'll be enough to bridge the gap. But do you see that playing any part in us being a small chance CB? I know clubs change their game plan and do all that kind of stuff, but he'll know something. He'll know something.
Oh, nothing. Maybe Uzi, hopefully, he can just get our sports bet app going, something with some of the Melbourne punter boys in the coach and get a bit distracted. Just tell him there's a few races on. Maybe, allegedly, if you go by rumor. Did I cover us legally there?
Yeah. No, exactly.
Just wear his Melbourne polo.
Yeah.
Oh, you infiltrate him. Yeah, you can go stand in the huddles. Wire him up. That's a good point. McQuilter's at Melbourne, though, so that probably cancel each other out. There we go. There goes that theory. Lefau, I want to talk about Lefau quickly. Where does his game go to from here? Like, it's such a big job for him to try and essentially shoulder the load of being a number one forward when he's probably best being a second or third forward. Are you enjoying watching what he's doing, and what are the expectations for him for the next few games?
I'm enjoying watching him. And I think, again, his game's going to go to another level once we get an actual one-on-one target to kick to, which is going to allow even more of those leading lanes to open up for him to present an option. Because I think that's where he really shone against the Eagles, was that run and launch at the ball.
Yeah, he was quick. And like, this is against Barras and McGovern, who aren't shabby defenders.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen a forward lead and jump at a ball like that since Jack Riewoldt early 2010s. Just being able to run into space, jump and catch it at the highest point. So it got me excited seeing that. And when Lynch is back, obviously Lynch is going to park himself deep. Bolter's going to hit up at centre-half forward. Or even vice versa, Bolter out of the square and Lynch at half forward. They're going to be the main targets. They're going to take the defenders away, and Lefau's going to be free to sort of run in into the leading lanes, you know, 30 out in space. So I think once we get our forward line structure again, the fact that Lefau is so mobile, I think we can go three talls.
Well, I think, but that's what, before Lynch and Bolter went down, you saw in Sydney, like, Lynch was in leading lanes, jumping at the ball, like, we actually had it worked out, and then injuries have come, and it's just blown everything to the Scheisenhausen. So, that's why I think you need to get another one in there, like a Naismith or an Ankervis in that forward line, just to help, you know, give him that support, because I think one-on-one, he's a pretty strong lad. So, I think if you can isolate him, he's going to win quite a few contests.
Now, I know we've been screaming for players to come back, but Lynch is still a little while away. He's probably going to make it for the last 5-6 games of the year, potentially. Do you risk that happening? Like, we're not going to be on the cusp of making the eight, right? So let's probably put that out there pretty early. Do we just let Lynch sit it out for this year and get himself cherry ripe for next year? Or do you put him in those last few games? I don't know I just don't know what's to be gained from that. That's all.
I think he needs to play.
Yeah.
Because you need to work on the following year. So you're always working in advance. So whatever game time these guys can get together, all goes well for a preseason and the following year. So he's got to play if he's able to play.
I mean, if we wrap him up, that's essentially 2 years of football that he hasn't played.
Yeah.
If we factor in last year and this year. And coming back from soft tissue injuries, broken bones, that sort of thing. You're better off getting runs in the legs, strengthening it up in an actual match situation rather than, you know, coming in with limited to no football. I mean, you look at Lynch. He only survived, two or three games. Gibkiss only survived two. Like, players need to build that strength and conditioning up obviously in an intense, you know, game. So if he's a chance to play games, I don't care. The more that we can get Lynch in and build that connection with Lynch and Bolter and LaFell for six games is going to help us a hell of a lot in 2025.
Fair enough. Points well made. Points well made. Oh, before we get tips and margins, if anyone's got any questions, send through any questions. We'll take some viewer questions quickly because obviously we didn't have the other game to look at. But we'll do our tips and margins now, then take questions at the end. So CB, who's going to win this game on Wednesday night and by how much?
I think get there, support the club, support the armed services and have a good night.
Don't want to put a number to that.
Don't want to put a number to it, no.
Grok?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Get along to the game. It's always a great spectacle. It's a nice, you know, nice occasion to get out and just be thankful for everything that we have. You know, it's not, you know, life, as much as life is getting us down at the moment, it could always be worse. You know, we're above ground and breathing, so you know, get along, support the lads, support everything, but yeah, don't expect a miracle. I reckon I think it'll probably be seven goals in the end.
I do have one tip. Lady Hawkeye stole my thunder earlier. I would like to see Viney do some faux tough man shit in our forward line and just let him float near LaFau somewhere.
LaFau can just pick him up and throw him into the second row.
Just don't argue him into the stands.
I think, and I said this last week, that the next few games, realistically, we'll be looking at 30-plus point losses just with the landscape of our team dynamic. It is what it is. I'll just be there, hopefully enjoying watching the young kids do their thing and having a crack. But I reckon the D's will end up getting up by about 30 or 40 points, unfortunately. A couple of questions come through. Palmer, very good username. With Grimes back, should we chuck Miller forward? Is that an option? Or does Grimes play defensively on Lever or May? I know that was floated a couple of weeks ago.
Mate, Miller's been exceptional in the back line.
I agree.
I wouldn't change that.
So, someone mentioned the possibility of Loston going forward and playing that defensive role on Lever. And I can see points for and against it. But again, I think Vlosten's year has been so good this year. You got to keep him.
I would rather keep the back six as together as possible and put the new player coming in into that forward spot to try something. So that's Grimes has got to be defensive, then so be it.
If Grimes plays forward nearest to the pin, what do you reckon he could kick?
Imagine he kicks five. Imagine he goes full Waterman and kicks 11 in 2 weeks or something, and no one sees it coming.
If he could go forward and kick two on Lever, I tell you what, that'd be worth the regardless of the score results. That would be worth the price of admission alone. It'd be like that time when Duncan Callaway kicked his first snag against Port Adelaide, and the boys got around him.
That would be funny. That would be good to watch.
Just imagine Grimes' goal after the siren on Lever from 50. Poetic.
Hugh, man, look, they probably are, but you've got to be real. We can't just blow smoke up everyone's ass because you've got to be real where we're at. And it's not a slight on the club. We've got no players left. It doesn't matter if we were a Geelong podcast, a GWS podcast. If you took out all those players from those respective sides, they would be struggling equally as much as what we are. It's just the reality of how it's played out for us, unfortunately. So I don't think we're being ultra negative. We're just being realistic. There's no point trying to sugarcoat something when it's completely out of our control. And all other clubs have been in the same boat.
Yeah, I don't think we're being pessimistic. I think we're being pragmatic about the situation we're in right now.
With a sense of humour. And in point of fact, again, Michaels and I discussed this. For us as a supporter group, this is our big boy month. Because as we said, there's a lot of players to return in the next sort of three-week mark. So we've just got to stick fat the next 4 weeks. And the second half of the year, hopefully, will be a lot more competitive and, you know, we'll actually get some runs on the board in the second half. So I think this is actually big boy month for the Richmond supporter group and members. So get there, keep supporting, because things will turn in the second half as we get players back on the field.
100%. And this is a good call as well from Ghost. We have mentioned Morrow previously, but given the circumstances that Steve Morris is working with, he's done a phenomenal job to get the players up to the level they need to be to come in and play AFL, and then dealing with, I suppose, for lack of a better word, top-up players himself to keep the VFL program functioning as well. So, now Steve Morris has done and all the development coaches have done a huge job given the extraordinary circumstances they're facing this year. Oh, yeah. I don't know if this is legit or not. Jones Racing Grimes kicked goals at training today. Here we go.
You know
here
what?
Here we go.
You know what? Get on board. Grimes, I know I said I had you out of the team for the rest of the year. You know what? Come in. Come play forward. Let's go. I'm on board. Let's go.
Forget Trent Coleman. It's Grimes time.
Yep. Let's go. Grimes. I'm on. I'm on with this. Let's go. Let's do it.
Oh, gosh. Free kick count. Let's say it'll be 21-16 in their favour, but that'll be a mute point. It won't really matter too much, I wouldn't have thought. There's plenty of things that we can do in the games. Richo, we did speak about the punt row development at the start, and whilst the pitches and everything look really sexy and what it's going to look like, the overwhelming thought was, in the way times are currently and how tough everyone's doing it, no one should feel at all obligated to have to make a contribution. Even memberships are hard to keep up with, and some people can't do that, but that doesn't mean they're less of a supporter. If people want to do it, they do it. It's just, yeah, I think it's a tough one to ask members to keep forking out money for, given some people are legitimately finding it hard to put, you know, food on the table and keep a roof over their head. But anyone who can, good on them. And we floated a few different ideas to raise money. CB said if they knock the Jack Dye stand down, you can buy a brick. So it's a commemorative brick. They could do things on Zoom. They could sell tickets to be on a Zoom call with the coaching staff in the lead up to a game. There's heaps of stuff they could do to raise money. I think if you get something in return for the money you put in, people are going to be more inclined to do it than just a straight up donation. But that's one for people paid a lot more, or just paid at all compared to us to make a decision on.
Stephen, I don't want to get his last name wrong. I don't want to insult the man. Now, I don't encourage gambling, right? But I'm just saying, Dylan Grimes, he's at $20 for the first goal. Dead set. I think that is hashtag free money. Put your house on it. Put your kids on it. Do the lot. It's free money. Get on board. Dylan Grimes, $20, first goal scorer. Thank me next episode. You're welcome.
Jeez, we'll be keeping a very close eye on that one. My goodness.
Question for you guys.
Yep.
Bolton, where does he play on Wednesday?
I think he has to be in the midfield.
Yep.
I agree.
My only
issue is, and everyone sees it, he doesn't really have that defensive element to his game in there, which is a little bit frustrating. But as long as two of the other players do, you can offset it a little bit. But he unquestionably does his best work in the middle. His ability to burst away from stoppage is really, really good.
Yeah,
but again, it probably actually won't matter if we don't play Naismith, though. If we play Nank as the main ruck, it actually won't matter.
Yeah, he's a lot more involved in the midfield. We saw against the Eagles when he was up forward. Yeah, he kicked three goals, but there were large periods where he just didn't get anywhere near it, was wasted, you know, parking himself in the goal square. So I definitely think he's another one that probably needs to be 70-30 mid-forward.
And I'll say this, Cozzy Pickett is an absolute superstar, and he is. However, his defensive work is still not where it needs to be. Offensively, he's a weapon. Mid to forward, unreal. We need whoever plays in him needs to expose him the other way. And I reckon there can be opportunities on Cozzy going forward to the pill.
Dan Rioli could be able to burn off him a little bit, go on a few runs.
Don't know. But whoever's on him, work him the other way. And you'll knacker him by the end of the day.
Last one from Jones Racing. Dust in the middle. I'm not a fan of it just because he just doesn't have that. I know I just said it about Bolton, but Dusty even more so doesn't have that defensive running capability anymore. Whether it's the want or the desire, he wants to, but his body can't do it anymore, I'm not too sure. But he seems to just be best as an offensive weapon, which can sometimes undo us a little bit. I don't know. we've got so many young kids in there. Maybe you need him in there for a smaller percentage, but I wouldn't be doing bulk minutes in the midfield.
Spiritually, chuck him in. First bounce.
Just send a message.
Totally.
Oh, he'll get up. He'll definitely play.
Given up. Peter Adams gone. Dusty's given up sad. He obviously hasn't watched his and looked at his stats the last two games. Dusty's
no, he hasn't given up. He definitely gave up on a couple of chases, which weren't a great look. But look, if you're being realistic, he's done that his whole career. It's just that during our peak periods, we had a game plan and plays in place that covered his lack of chasing, and it wasn't actually noticeable.
The only thing that makes me want Dusty in the middle more than up forward is he's so hesitant now to pull the trigger. He's always looking to dish off to someone else to finish. And that, to me, if he's going up forward and he doesn't have confidence, I mean, he's probably not going to be effective as a forward. So I do think he's probably best, if that's the case, being a midfielder, utilize that kicking.
Put him in.
I reckon he was just trying to bring the younger kids into the game. I actually think he was trying to be too selfless, where he maybe needs to have a shot at goals himself. But anyway, we'll see how we go. Either way, Wednesday nights, Anzac Eve, always a huge, huge occasion. So if you can get along, please try to. It is going to be cold. I'm still trying to work out some magic to get there myself with the boys, which would be good. So hopefully I can get there for the first game of the year. But otherwise, enjoy watching it. Thank you to everybody for tuning in tonight. Much appreciated. We know it's a bit of a tougher year than what we're used to, but we're all got to stick fat, all got to have a laugh, all got to have our Monday night therapy session. So we enjoy everyone tuning in with some banter and some good comments as well. CB and Grok, thank you so much for jumping on tonight, gents. Much appreciated.
Absolute pleasure. Grimesy, call me. I've kicked a few snags in a day. Call me. I'll help you out, brother.
So our Twitter's going to explode. If he kicks the first goal, everyone will be tagging CB and everything. It's going to be off the charts.
Just put up a tweet. Did you put your house on it? ?
Yeah.
The only tweet that needs to go out.
I'll put a whole $1 and win that 20. Come on.
Or when we try to get CB on next week, he's like, I'm just moving house, fellas. Sorry. We'll know exactly what's played out. And
one way or another, we'll be moving house, either upgrade.
Or oh, yeah, or he's got nothing there.
I mean, boys, you know that $100 million we had to find for the punt road development? Carbon.
All right, guys. Have a. Oh, what's the Grimes version of lunchtime? Jesus. I think that has to just come naturally. So the CB will have to work on that, I think. That's his task for the weekend, I reckon. Oh. He's got to, because we've had to pause the stubby holders because we're not sure what Lynch is doing. It might be a bit defunct to bring out a lunchtime stubby holder if the great man's not going to play.
Yeah.
But no, we'll think of a phrase to coin if Grimesy does kick one. Dinner time, wine and cheese time. I don't know. We'll think of something. Anyway, have a good night, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you on Monday. Until next time, go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Oh,